Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the studio is Pat and Chris.
What's up?
Hey, man.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good day, good day, good day.
Good night, good night, good night.
Good night,
oh,
John
my
boy.
Goodness. Well, Chris, he doesn't have the Saints t-shirt, but he did have to break out the jacket. I just had to comment on that. I just had
That's right.
Because we have not seen the faithful out. But
no, I dusted it off.
Guess he broke out the pajama fleece, so I'm glad that you have that out for us today. But I do want to say give some shout-outs to Eddie. ¿Qué pasa, man? How you doing? Oh, my goodness. Very, very encouraging. Very encouraging, all the wonderful things that I'm hearing. Juan out there in Texas. Pastor Cindy down there in Lakeland. And Crystal is holding it down in the Bronx. We do want to welcome all of our VFN new radio listeners. I want to give a special shout-out to Kay and Diet and Ernest and Gwen and William and Chris, Jim. My goodness, all over John, Joseph, Kenneth, Corey, Paul, Daryl, Patsy, all over the country, men in different parts of the world. And we're just so encouraged. We're encouraged to have this conversation with you today. We're here to encourage, to inspire, and share what God is doing, share. And so we're just so encouraged today. I do want to share with you Psalms 44. I mean, I just love Psalms. I mean, I just love Psalms. In Psalms 44 says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their day, in days long ago." Man, it's so important to keep passing on the wonders of the Lord. He goes on to say that with your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by the sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. But listen to this. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, my goodness, listen, it's not going to be in our own strength. It's not going to be in what we're able to do. I mean, the Lord is the one who holds victory for us. And it was the light of his face, it was the love of God that propelled us to victory in that situation. Verse 5 says that through you, we push back our enemies, and through your name, we trample on our foes. And I love this. And this is, I think this is the huge key. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies, and you put our adversaries to shame. In God, we make our boasts all day long, and we will praise your name forever. Mm. Listen, no matter what you have in your hand, no matter what you have in your account, no matter what you have at home, you know, don't put confidence in the things that you have, but put your confidence in the Lord. You know, he says, 1,000 may fall on my right side, 10,000 at my right hand. But God's with you. God's called you to be the head and not the tail. His favor surrounds you like a shield, right? Okay. Jeremiah said, because the gracious hand of the Lord was upon me, the king granted my request. And so I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're facing, and let me tell you something, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It comes to plant lies, divisions, all kinds of stuff. Understand this. Mm. Do not try to come against the enemy in the arm of the flesh, but trust in the name of the Lord. Trust in God. Amen. Trust in God. Trust in God, and watch God rise up and scatter the enemy, right? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered.
That's right.
Mm. And remember this, that your enemies are his enemies. He's got your back. You know what I'm saying? He's got your back.
That's right.
And so he will make sure that they're gone, you know, and then they'll flee from you seven ways. But let me tell you, we just want to encourage you today. Let me tell you, encouragement is so good. We talked about encouragement versus discouragement yesterday a little bit. You know, encouragement helps you to keep going. And it adds, you know, continues to add fuel in your tank. But there's so wonderful to know that the Lord is on your side. Amen. Well, I don't know if you guys saw this. Maybe I saw this or heard about this here. But, you know, there is a winter blast has hit across these United States, man. I think about 20 states.
Oh, wow.
20 states have been affected. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, we're talking about, like, it's snowed in California. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
I don't think they get snow in California, but they did. They're talking about snow in Arizona. Okay, Arizona.
Wow.
Of course, it's spreading through Colorado and Nebraska. Of course, it has already fallen yesterday, and its storm is moving slowly. It's supposed to continue to spread, but 20 states that are affected, and I was just watching some of the reels, and my goodness, man, if you're not used to driving in the snow, I mean, get off of the roads. It's a false sense of confidence. It really is. I mean, because I remember going down in my subdivision. I mean, I'm going down a hill, curvy hill. You couldn't go more than 5 miles an hour down this hill because there's no place to turn. It was just, you know, a round circle, if you will. It was just, you had to make a, you know, around the road just curved. You know what I mean? It was like a straight.
No straight line. Like,
yeah, you got to, like, you know, it's just curved. So you had to go really slow. And even in that, my car completely spent around and was facing the opposite direction.
Whoa.
We just have no grip at all. It's just like, doesn't matter. So you definitely want to be careful. Listen to us in these 20 states that are affected with this snow and storms and some areas, lightnings, a bunch of these other storms that are supposed to converge at another time too. So in fact, in Nebraska, let me tell you this, in some places are expected 12 to 18 inches. But in Nebraska, they said even the threat of snow, and I would imagine this in most areas that don't get snow, they said even the threat of snow shuts everything down. Just like, if it's coming, we're shutting it down. And so they're advising people not to get on the roads and not to come on out. It's happening that, you know, snow where it's not supposed to snow, it just kind of reminds me of John Paul Jackson's prophetic word in the Perfect Storm.
He
talks about these five elements that are going to be happening at different times. The perfect storm is going to be hitting, you know, hitting us, but it's going to, in certain places, certain things are going to happen. And he talks about it's going to be economic in some areas. It could be really across the country. We're seeing that now, but politics and areas of religion, war, and then, of course, geophysical, which I found out was earth, solar, and weather.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
You Googled up, huh?
I didn't Google it up, but I did find out, okay? But it's so important. So we're seeing these weather patterns. This is all part of it. And it's like, these are wake-up calls. These are an opportunity to say, snow in California, something's not right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Arizona.
Yeah,
I mean, to Arizona. Me, that's more of a miracle. I mean, that's like a desert, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, they showed snow on cactus, bro. Snow on cactus.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, it's like, catch a clue. I think God's trying to get our attention. You know what I'm saying? I think we need to search inwardly and see what is happening. But I want to encourage you that not to look at these weather patterns and these strange things that are happening in the weather and just throw them off and just say it's, you know, global warming, not, you know, but say what God's already told us in advance. You know, what is happening? We need to take heed and not ignore them. God's speaking, and it's important for us to listen. You know, I'm even hearing from in Colorado, Pastor Brett says there's about 4 inches already fell, and he's showing out. All right. Pastor Brett, I wish we could be there with you. Not, I have my own snow to shovel at one time. You get no help, but we're with you in spirit. But they're shoveling snow, man.
Right.
And so just be safe, be careful. And this is just another sign of the times, which should cause us to search our heart even more. I'm talking about snow and it falling. And yesterday we talked about some little sledding. I guess we're on the snow thing here. But I don't know if I saw this, but have you seen the little Mini Cooper, the little car, the little Mini Cooper thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I saw this. We're probably going to make this available on the tour. I thought this was like crazy. But you know, you have all these you know, extreme sports. They're flipping bikes and they're, mm-hmm. you know, skateboards and jumping off things.
Snowmobiles.
You know, yeah, snowmobiles, you know, and motorcycles. They're gearing this thing up and flipping way up in the sky. And mm-hmm. I'm like, that could hurt. You know, we showed a guy, Adam. I forget Adam's name. We'll look it up here on the torch for you. But Adam did a backflip off of a skateboard and landed on another skateboard. I'm like, you know, something about that just doesn't seem right to me. You
yeah.
know it just doesn't seem
right.
So
this is your brother, Adam, or what?
No. This is a young man named Adam.
Oh, okay.
And we have it on the torch. You got to see that video because that was probably amazing. My understanding is that Tony Hawk, the skating big guy there, called him up and said, "Hey, man, I've never seen anything like that before in my life." But
yeah.
So his name's Adam Miller.
Yeah.
And
did
you see
all
it on
the wipeouts before that though?
No, I didn't. Horrible.
Yeah, there was this like string of times where he attempted it, and they showed all his wipeouts too. They were pretty nasty.
Oh. Dude, I don't even want to look at it. I mean, just watching that alone and imagining it was
just trying, it's insane, much less doing it over and over again.
Hello? So, you think that you've seen it all, right? You think that you've seen it all. However, this rally driver by the name of Ghislaine Chicharette has landed a full backflip in a car, mm-hmm. in a Mini car, and he did this in France, and we're going to make this available for you on the torch because you really got to see this.
Yeah,
this is in France where they had the 1992 Winter Olympics, but he launched this the Mini car off of a ramp.
The Mini Cooper.
Yeah, the Mini Cooper.
Wow,
like a little toy box type of car, but still a car.
Yeah,
and he off of a non-moving traction ramp, so it wasn't like the ramp didn't give him any extra push. And he literally did a backflip with the car and landed on this massive pile of snow. I mean, it's just like breathtaking just to see what happens. But it just never ceases to amaze me the type of ingenuity and invention and things that people are willing to do just to go to the extreme. And I just think about, you know, all that stuff that's pent up in us to go extreme. Mm-hmm. We should go extreme for God.
Yeah.
You know, it's that extreme and that push to go beyond the edge. You know, people are looking for that adrenaline and then mm-hmm. and to do something that's so out of the box and, you know, doing, you know, all kinds of flips and stuff like that. You want an edge, man? You want a rush? You know what I'm saying? Go on the extreme for God. You know, yeah. Go beyond the cutting edge of what God is doing. Let me tell you something. I mean, no sleep to the eyes, no slumber. I mean, this is exciting. I mean, you're talking about taking the gospel to the ends of the world. You're talking about people being set free. You're talking about the joy of seeing people radically healed. I mean, sickness, dying, and I mean, we've seen tumors, size of grapefruits, absolutely yeah. shrink.
Gone.
I mean, miracles. Yeah. Miracles.
Yeah.
If that doesn't, as our friend from Kentucky say, crank your tractor, I don't know what else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, to see someone who was bound and battling depression and couldn't even lift their head to see the joy of the Lord on their life, their whole countenance absolutely changed. Someone go from being bound and not having a meaningless life to finding true purpose in the Lord and their destiny in God. Let me tell you something. That's living on the edge. You want something extreme? Go extreme for God.
That's
go
right.
extreme for God.
That's right.
Pretty amazing. We'll be right back.
I want to continue talking about the kingdom of God. He mm-hmm. says when you're born again, the very first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God. You know, and that's the king's dominion in your life, taking over parts of your life. And then when he tells us to go out, he tells us all to go out. It's mm-hmm. You don't pray if you should go. You need to pray if you should stay. And by mm-hmm. the way, I can tell you what he's probably going to say right now.
Yeah.
Because think about it. He allowed the church, the original church, the original intent of God in Jerusalem, because we have a tendency. We all have a tendency as human beings. Mm-hmm. We just kind of gravitate towards comfort and convenience and predictability and what makes our flesh feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is kind of hung around in Jerusalem. You know, they hung around Jerusalem. It's like, well, the goal, the original intent of Jesus is to go out into all the world, you know, Jerusalem, Judea. Hello, is somebody talking about Judea, right? I don't like Judea out there. I like Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. And so in that, you know, they just kept staying. And so God allowed persecution to come to the church. And how you know it, he allowed it is because they ran the church off, but for some reason they didn't run the apostles off. So the apostles still stayed in Jerusalem. If you're going to try to stop a nation, if you're going to try to stop something, you're going to go for the leadership. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And remember when Paul went back, he went back to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem and asked for wisdom about what's happening out in the outskirts and what was going on in the Samaria and the uttermost parts. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, they had to be persecuted, Pat. Mm-hmm. They had to be persecuted to go out. I mean, that's how much God's into going out and spreading his kingdom. He says that when you go, when I send you out, I want you to preach the kingdom of God and preach that the kingdom is near you. And when they receive Jesus as their king, as their Lord, as their Savior, and they say, I want him to be the Lord of my life, then at that point, the kingdom has expanded. It didn't expand when you built a wing on your building. It didn't expand when you actually got a new staff member. Mm-hmm. It didn't expand when, you know, you read more scripture that day. It expanded when you told somebody about the king and they said, oh my goodness. And they say, I know. And they receive him. And then the kingdom expanded from your heart to their heart. And now both of you guys are carrying the kingdom of God. We're like kingdom containers. Mm-hmm. That's the original intent. The original intent is for everybody to hear, everybody to be given an opportunity to receive the king and his kingdom and to begin to seek his kingdom. And then we're out of here because our king is coming back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to live with him forever. And if you're thinking it's about a building, if you're thinking it's about a stuff or the next song or your talent, you know, or your gift, listen, it's about you going to tell somebody about this King Jesus, that he loves them and he has a plan for their life and that he can forgive them and he can restore them and that there's hope. And understanding that you need to seek his ways. And I'm going to encourage you, even though that you've been around, you know, the church for many years, you know, you've been around other believers, you may need to go back and find out the original intent. You need to get discipled. Right. You need to get discipled. You need to begin to abide with God. And you can do that. You can go to iAbide and request a free plan. We have a simple plan for you. If you don't have one already, go to iAbide.org. And request it. Immediately, it will come to you. And we have some basic foundational tools for you. First of all, you can just start hanging out with God and abiding. We have even a video how to do it, you know, real simple. But then there's also discipleship. There's some Foundations of Faith booklets that you can get that begins to build. Because you've been around for a long time, you think you're supposed to know something. But there's people that graduated from high school that couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. So just because they went to high school don't mean they have an education. Just because you've been hanging around the church doesn't mean you've been discipled. And we're finding out over the years that people have hung around for years but don't even know the basic Jesus as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to go back and get the foundation again because I have not even thought about going out and advancing the kingdom of God. I never thought about rightly relating that I am the church and that I need to go be the church, and the word of God applies to me and not just to a building organization or that type of thing. So I want to encourage you, the kingdom of God, looking at the original intent of the church.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we thank you for joining us in the first hour. We're just talking about the faithfulness of God. Oh my goodness, he's so faithful and so good. Even when we're not faithful, I mean, his faithfulness remains beautiful in itself. Amen. We talked about some of the winter blasts and what's happening and prophetic words, sign of the times. But we want to share with you right now, we want to share a really encouraging segment. And we're talking about this nine-year-old prodigy, this nine-year-old boy who is a basketball phenom. And the reason we're going to show this is we're talking more about this when we get back from sharing this with you. We're talking about the expectations of children and what we're willing to expect from them and how we can help mold and shape young people and speak into their lives to see them do, you know, bigger and greater things in their generation. And this is just a small little example, but we're going to talk about this more. Listen up.
Jillian Jess, MouthpieceSports.com, here with the most phenomenal nine-year-old basketball player, Jalen Fleming. Jalen, how did this all start? Tell me about your love for basketball.
It all started when I was six. We was at the gym working with the starting point guard from Marquette. He was actually working out my brother. But then my dad told me he went to the bathroom. He said, stay here. He don't want me to get hurt while they were doing their drills. So I ran out, and that's when I discovered.
I saw him with the ball, and I just saw that he had the ability to handle the basketball that no one really had ever showed it to him. I never really taught it to him. I never saw him with a basketball in his hand. That was my first time ever seeing him with a ball.
John went to friend and mid-range shooting coach Ken Kanicki to get his opinion on Jalen's skills.
Went down to the gym expecting, you know, a kid that's 9 years old to be playing fairly well and just maybe show him some things. Just I like to give back to the youth of Chicago. This is where I'm from. And got out on the court, and I truly have never seen anything like it in regards to put him through about a 250-shot workout. And
wow.
I asked him to go get a drink of water, and he said, I'm ready to put up some more shots. And he made probably about 40 to 60% right in that first workout. So that's how I was introduced to him and just been trying to really inspire him to do the same things I teach the pros and the college guys at his level just so he can be more advanced at his age.
I understand some colleges have already been looking at you, and you're 9 years old.
Yeah, some colleges looking at me, so I got to go down to a college this week, and I'm going to work out with the team and stuff.
In addition to working with several college and NBA players, he's been training with Ed Pelubinskis, president of the National Basketball Shooters Association.
I mean, unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. His ability to focus and his drive, it's really incredible.
Where do you see him down the road?
Oh, he'll be the first NBA draft pick as a freshman in high school. I'm just kidding. He's definitely an NBA prospect. He's going to have a body. His dad, who could be a Kobe Bryant? There's no saying he can't be a Dwayne Wade. I mean, not with what he's learning now. And if he becomes a beautiful shooter, which looks like he's going to be, his dad said I can have him for the next 10 years. So he's going to be very good.
He's been teaching my form. You have to spread your finger out. Bam, that's how you do it. You spread your finger out, and it's a better shot than crooked like this and stuff. Because that's what make you miss, and it make you hit hard off the rim. You have to follow through just like that.
Right, and this one, so remember, you're pushing right through there. If you're there, it's going to get a little bit wobbly. So make sure when you're on this shot, you're pushing up through there. Okay. I'm going to shoot it there, and I'm just going to bring it straight back to the pocket again. Shoot, pocket. One. Shoot. Now look, I haven't moved it at all. It's just going to go right back into the 90. Shoot. I'm not gonna shoot it and then drop it and then come back into the 90. Look how much better that is. You see what I'm talking about? That's really good.
While attending Juwan Howard's camp, he was the only player recruited outside of North Carolina to play on Chris Paul's 10 and under summer league team.
It was fun. We get to travel around the country, meet new players, like in the state championship. It was packed, and we did. It was just fun. We just travel around the country to different states, playing against different people I don't even know and doing my thing.
Went to Chris Paul's press conference when he signed his big deal, and Jalen was up on the platform with him, with the owners and all of that, and it really made an indelible mark on his life and his career and where he wanted to go and saying that he wanted to pursue basketball, you know, as a career.
And 17 years of working with athletes, I've never seen somebody at this skill level at 9 years old and with the passion to work hard, but who also enjoys working hard. He just kind of already innately knows he's where he needs to be, and so it's just like time's catching up with him.
Even though a lot of his life revolves around basketball, he still finds time to be a regular kid.
I just like playing video games, watch TV, just chill out when I go home. I don't do all that. Everything is not basketball. Basically, in school I get all A's. My parents will warn me for that.
Yeah.
And I'm just living a good life right now. My God is blessing me with a lot of things.
Okay, Jalen, show us one of your favorite things you like to do. What's it called?
It's called two ball. I love to do it. It's fun.
I can't do it. One ball.
Come on, Dad.
Normal kids get rewarded with ice cream, but you get rewarded with playing with Derrick Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it better than ice cream.
Isn't that amazing? That's over 9 years old. I mean, did you see the handle on this boy? How
he's, unbelievable. How he was
dribbling with two hands. He was dribbling the ball with two hands. And then as he was dribbling with his left hand, his father was throwing back and forth the other hand, and he was able to keep both of them going at the same time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's high school students that they can't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're talking about a young, you know, child. I mean, 9 years old, you can't be no more than the third, maybe fourth grade. Third, fourth grade, to have that type of skill, to have that type of talent, that NBA prospect, the coach is saying that you're an NBA prospect and you're going to have him for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. And the NBA is one of the most difficult sports to become an actual, to get in the league, to be a professional. It's a very, very challenging sport. You got to be good. Yeah. I mean, the worst guy on the bench is good. I mean, you've got to be really, really good. There's no, you know, no slack in there. They don't have a big, big bench to ride, and you got to bring it. Well, what's amazing about this is that I think that so many children today have been limited and disadvantaged, you know, by so much technology that's available. We're going to talk about some technology later today that Google is inventing, and we talk about the benefits and we talk about the side effects. You know, this is such a huge deal that, I mean, when you talk about Chris Paul, this is a basketball player that just, I believe just won the MVP All-Star in the All-Star Classics. When you're hanging out with NBA players at 9 years old and they're talking about, you know, sending you to colleges, and colleges are recruiting children as young as 9 years old. He's not an isolated case. There's another young man that's 11 years old, and he actually plays on the high school varsity team. On the high school varsity team, and he is tiny. And you should see the incredible, incredible skills, shooting over guys twice his size from the 3-point range. You know what I'm saying? It's a miracle to shoot 3-pointers, much less shooting them over a person that's twice, three times his size. But what's happening? I mean, you look at the disadvantage that, you know, sometimes the technology can cause if it's taking up all these children's time. I mean, think about it. I'm sure at 9 years old, he didn't develop them skills by spending hours and hours and hours on television all day. You know what I'm saying? And playing hours and hours and hours of video, you know, on the day. Think about how many hours today children spend, really, in front of the TV, the computer, social media, video games. We're talking about a generation that is just zoning out, becoming like zombies, really. And they're not being involved in the things that require them to get out there with hand-eye coordination, picking up stuff with their own hands, getting engaged, using their mind.
All right.
And they're not doing it. Think about it. You know, I think about folks that get out there and work at a young age. And you know, my grandparents, I'll share about that here in a minute, but it's amazing. And with technology, we're able to do so many things fast. Right. But I think what happens is that it hinders the children from having critical thinking skills. When the app does everything.
All right.
When everything, you know, moves and you don't have to think, it takes that thinking process out. You don't begin to exercise your mind. You don't have the chance to think critically. And the truth is that people perform to your expectation. They really do. And the same truth. It's the same thing with children. Children will perform to your expectation. And it seems like so many are okay with being mediocre and average, and they do just enough to get by. And I believe that if we give children direction, if we give children leadership, if we give children encouragement, It needs to come from home. It needs to come from those that love the children. Because if you're not leading, you're not giving vision, and if you're not encouraging, believe you me, somebody else will give your child a vision.
That's right.
They will give them some direction.
And you may not like it.
And they will give you them some encouragement, but you may not like it. That's right, Pat. You may not like what they're giving you. You know, why not? Why not? We need to begin to start giving them realistic expectations. I think about Jesus. You know, Jesus was a boy at one time, right? He was a young boy, the scriptures tell us. Mm-hmm. He was born, right? Developed.
Right.
But there's an account of Jesus' life that we read about when he was 12 years old. 12. And he was in the temple court sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. I mean, his parents had been searching for him for 3 days. They then took off and said, Where is Jesus? Where is he?
Yeah.
They stopped the caravan, you know, looked under the camels.
Well, I'm curious. Why did it take 3 days? You know what I'm saying?
Interesting, right? Yeah. Very interesting. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll have to ask one day.
Yeah, I'll have to find out.
But, you know, they're looking for him anxiously, and they can't find him. And so they go back to the temple courts, and his parents say, listen, we were disturbed anxiously. We're searching for you. He says, why were you searching for me? This is 12-year-old Jesus says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know? I had to be in my Father's house. Didn't you know? This is what I do.
This is who I am.
This is what I do. This is who I am. Why does this surprise you? This is where I am. If you want to know, I'm going to be in the Father's house at 12 years old. Mm. It's powerful. Because remember, you know, Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. You know, he was fully man, fully God. Mm-hmm. He laid down his deity to be, you know, walk on earth, to live this sinless life. And at 12 years old, he was in the Father's house. And they were astonished, amazed at the questions and how he would answer things. And so we need to, you know, I want to encourage you. We need to encourage our children to go after God at a young age. You know, we don't need to send our children somewhere to be taught. But we need to be the major influencer, the encourager, the developer, the teacher when it comes to all things, but especially to the things of God and knowing God. Mm-hmm. I mean, when your children accept the Lord, they don't have a little Holy Spirit. You know, the same Holy Spirit that's in you is in them.
That's right.
And we can encourage them to know God, to know his voice. And you know what? We're seeing children even amongst our midst. I mean, we have children that have dreams.
Yeah.
Prophetic dreams. I mean, God's speaking to them in dreams. We have children that are actually being discipled. It means that they're spending time with God. They're committing themselves to learn more of his ways, right? And they're committed to building a foundation at a young age. This is children in our own midst. Right?
Yeah.
We have children that pray aloud in gatherings. Let me tell you something. That's pretty powerful. When you're a 9, 10, 12-year-old, I mean, we have young children that just like everyone else in among us and at the fellowships that gather, they're praying to God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfiltered.
Right.
And I believe God loves to hear their prayers. We have children in our midst that share the gospel with their friends, that boldly share the word of God. And so this is, we're already seeing this. And what I want to encourage you and what we're trying to encourage you is that, listen, even Jesus said, you know, he rebuked the disciples, don't suffer the little children not to come to me. Let the children come to me. When we take that cap off of them, when we begin to speak life and direction into their lives, when we begin to expect more from them, they will perform to our expectations. And for us, right, as a godly parent, we want to be able to speak life into them. We want them to know the word of God at a young age. Right. Why wait? And I've seen this before. parents sometimes, Christian parents sometimes, will take for granted that the children are growing up in a Christian home and that they're around the Lord, right?
Right.
But they don't teach them to know the Lord for themselves.
Right.
And you can fall into a bad trap there. You don't want to wait till your child is 13, 14 years old, start talking about the Lord with them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's not going to work.
That's right.
That they can know Jesus. It's powerful that when you're sick, a young child can come up to you and put their hands on you and say, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
They're developing their faith at such a young age. And I believe we're going to see miracles, even more miracles amongst children. I believe that we're going to see even more prophetic experiences from children. I believe that they're going to be part of this last day harvest, you know, if we continue to empower them, give them life, speak direction to them, and share with them the word of God and raise them up in the Lord. This is the next generation. This is the next generation. So besides doing something fancy with a ball, they're going to be the ones preaching the gospel and being raised. It's going to take all of us. Mm-hmm. It's going to take all of us. Children don't have a little Holy Spirit. They have the same Holy Spirit inside of them that's inside of you. We'll be right back.
Could you imagine, you know, John G. Lake planted over 5,000 churches in Africa, over 5,000 churches. Mm-hmm. You know, people are getting saved, and within being saved for 30 days, 60 days, you know, 90 days, not only are they actually starting a church gathering, but they're actually starting church gathering, starting another church.
Right.
I mean, it just happens. You know, if we break loose from the flower pot, if we break loose from that thing that's retaining and just maxing out our roots. So listen, a vine is supposed to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have a beautiful flower in a flower pot. Think of, you know, Charles Simpson in his book. Yeah, I think it's called Vines, Ants, Vines, and
Flower Pots.
Flower Pots. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And he talks about, you know, vines just meant to grow anywhere and to go anywhere. And Jesus said, I am the vine. Listen, we're supposed to preach the gospel to all, and then the end would come. We're not waiting for somebody to show up and preach it. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Imagine if you spend the next 10 years of your life just obeying God. Listen to Steve Hills. He talks about exactly what happens. You can get saved and get trained and get launched into the harvest field. Listen up.
And we lived in Argentina for years, and same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the pitch. Let me just ask a couple.
I want to say this. It's the hunger. We're going to have to get hunger. Yes, we could. You could go to India. Right now, you can go to China. As a matter of fact, they're asking for so many to come. But America, the American church is kind of like, we don't need anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hunger. You know, God moves by hunger. If we get hungry, if we say, listen, I'm ready to get all this out of my life, that's not God. All I want is God. And I'm ready to go after God. Listen, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Listen, this is not a fairy tale. This is eternity. People every day are dying and going to hell. Every day, somebody, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's the guy that just installed your cable in your home, or maybe it's your appliance repair person. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's your friend. I don't know, but are you telling them about Jesus? Have you break loose from that that's holding you back and begin to sow the gospel of peace? Begin to sow the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we're doing that at VFN Vine Fellowship Network. It's vfnfamily.org. If you want to find out something about it, you can be trained, you can be discipled, you can be launched out, you can be connected and rightly related. I mean, you can stay where you are and begin to grow right where you're at. It's amazing. You know, if the kingdom of God is within you, and this is just so exciting. You want to be a part of that. What's wrong in America? We're not hungry. We've fallen into sin. We got to repent. We got to rise up. We got to get hungry. We got to know that God is the only answer. All these other things that are happening that are distracting, they're just demonic distractions trying to keep us out of the ultimate goal of preaching the kingdom of God to all, and then the end will come. He's coming back. Mm-hmm. He's coming back, you know.
That's right.
You know, you can be either gather, you're either a gatherer or a scatterer. He says, if you're not gathering, then you're scattering. You know, you got to be a gatherer. You got to work in going out and winning the lost. God's called us. And listen, you can be a lengthener or a strengthener. You can be part of a team that's lengthening what is, or part of a team that is strengthening what is. But you're part of the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is not building a wing onto a building. It's actually telling another person about Jesus. We'll find out more about that at vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I want to mention something to you. You know, I had an opportunity to, I got blessed. Don and I got blessed, we got blessed with a cruise. We got a cruise that we went to, Cozumel and you know, Mexico, and went to the beaches and all. And, you know, Pat introduced me, you introduced me to diving.
Yes.
And it's a very quiet sport. it's hard to talk when you're underwater. And oh my goodness, you remember we went to the Massachusetts? Oh my goodness. Anyway, so
almost didn't make it back.
I know. You remember that? Right. Oh my goodness. So anyway, so I'm in Mexico, and oh, it was a beautiful. Oh, I just can't, you know, right now there's difficult things happening in Mexico, and I just pray that it'll get better. But the beaches are like postcards, and, you know, outside of the guys with guns dangling.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, we got there and got to I believe it was maybe Cozumel. And, you know, they have all these guys, you know, they have normal ship events that you go to or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do that. We actually saw this guy with his beat up piece of cardboard and said, I got the better deal for you. I looked at Donna and I looked back and I said, I want a better deal. And so, because I didn't want to go commercially,
right.
You know? And so I went and stood with him. And I said, take a picture of us. I'm thinking this could be the last time you see me. Because they said, don't ever go to the other side. And so we go to this remote beach. He drives us in this beat up cab. Well, he takes us a beat up cab. I mean, it is amazing that it reminded me in the back seat of being in a police car, you know, being an officer, right. What the back seat looks like. And that you don't want to end up in the back seat of a police car, by the way.
No, you don't.
And so they're driving this, and we're thinking, oh, you know, this could be it. We're like, you know, don't know where we're at, you know. And there's a lot of people who speak Spanish around there.
Imagine that.
Yeah, yo no hablo es español. And so then we get there. We said, we're almost here, you know, and the car's putting along, you know, and we're coming into the place, and it has two armed guards with guns at the front. It looks like we're going into some mafioso, you know, place. It looks like, you know, something like that's what it looked like. And then armed guards, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But this is so beautiful here.
I don't care.
You know, you're messing up the Garden of Eden with this stuff. And so then we get to the beach, and somehow some sailors found this place. I don't know how they found it, but they weren't doing well. They were having, you know, a worldly moment. And so we're walking down this little dirt road. We're there now. We're behind the armed guards. I don't know if we're on some, you know, mafia's place or we're just in a safe place. I don't know if we're safe or whatever. Anyway. But they have diving there, and you go out for a tank or two tanks or whatever. And And so I looked at Donna and I said, you know, I really, it's my wife. I looked at her and I said, you know, I want to go. I want to do this. I want to dive. I want to do this thing. And of course, Donna's not going to dive. and so I'm thinking, do I leave my wife on the beach? She's such a trooper, man. And I was thinking, you could shop. And of course, when you go shop, they actually had shells and their money was in like a cigar boxes. And it was just like in the, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe the 1700s, 1800s, you know, type feeling, you know. And so then she said, yeah, go. You know, go ahead and go dive and all that. Mm-hmm. And it was some of those beautiful water. I mean, yeah. It was just gorgeous. I can't explain how I was just overtaken with the beauty of the coral reefs. And my dive instructor or dive guide could have barely even, you know, he couldn't speak good English. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to dive so bad. And so I went two tanks. I went two tanks out there. And it was like diving in a postcard and seeing octopus. And he was trying to take my hand at one time. We're underwater. And he grabbed my hand. He's trying to bring it to touch this rock thing. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm snatching my hand back. He brings my hand back over again. And finally, the whole rock moves. I'm like, it's an octopus. Oh, my goodness. You know, and just had a wonderful time. But what comes to mind, though, is this other particular good deal outside the normal traditional type events that happen on cruises is they're diving with a stingrays, where you go out and dive with the stingrays. And I thought, well, that'll be cool. I'm gonna like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do that. And we got on this other cardboard sign thing, you know, we're going with out there. And Donna's actually going with me this time.
Oh, wow.
Donna's going with me to this. And we get out there on this boat in the middle of I don't know where. It's beautiful water. Nobody had guns, but, you know, we're in the ocean or the Gulf. Mm-hmm. We're in the Gulf. And so he says, okay, I want everybody to get in the water. And he gave us, it was so clear. You could see, it just seems like you could see just for miles of the water underwater. And it was just white sand. And it was, oh, my goodness, you know. And so then he gives us squid. You know, squid is a nasty,
all right,
you know, slimy.
It's dead squid.
Dead squid, yeah. It wasn't like calamari on your plate that was fried for ketchup.
He hands you bait.
Yeah, exactly. And so
in the ocean.
Well, hold on, we get there. And so then, I get in the water, and he says, "Whatever you do, the stingrays will come up to you." And he just said the stingrays. So I'm thinking, oh wow, two or three stingrays are come up, and they'll start trying to suck on your leg and do different things like that. And you're going to want to kick them. Don't kick them because they have the stinger on the back. So, I get in the water, and the water's probably about up to my shoulders, I guess, maybe a little bit lower on my shoulders. And all of a sudden, this nice, clear, white sand beach is underwater, you know, talking about the sand underwater. It just, these big, huge black spots are coming my way. They're huge, man. And they're coming from all directions. And here I am standing in the midst of Lord knows what this is, oh, with two gosh. Big hands of dripping squid.
Oh, my goodness.
It comes up and it sucks on my leg. One of them does. It's like trying to climb up your leg, like literally just trying to suck its way up your leg. And that just doesn't register right in your brain, by the way. Women are screaming, oh, my God. And he says, don't move. And I'm like, and I'm squeezing the squid because I'm nervous, and it's dripping squid juice down, getting them all excited. And so, he says, don't kick them. And I mean, it's just the first thing you do when some big thing's coming under the water with, you don't know what it is, it's sucking on your leg. You're going to kick it away, right?
Right.
And so I kicked the stew out of that thing, and it came back. It didn't sting me, thank God. And, being a Cozumel hospital somewhere. And so then I started, feeding. They would actually eat the squid, you know.
Out of your hand.
You just feed them. It's just like this one guy that took us. He had like maybe two or three teeth. I don't know, four teeth maybe. I don't know. And he picked one up and kissed it. It literally leaned it up, and he just sat there and kissed the lips. I didn't know. It looked like lips to me. Yeah. I'm talking about the stingray and I am. So, and then he kissed it. And so, and then all of a sudden they all go away. And we think, wow, what was that? And so, I'm starting to swim around under the water now, and I have, you know, some squid in my hand. Actually, I grabbed some more squid, and I'm swimming around in the Gulf, you know, fixing to find another one, and it just dawns on me. Yeah. I'm a human fishing pole. I am like a fishing pole, and my hand is like a hook, and it's baited with a whole bunch of squid. And it's not only stingrays out here, you have sharks out here. And I'm swimming like a swimming fishing pole, waiting for a shark to come bite my hand off and eat me. I'm thinking, how stupid is this? This is stupid. You know, and I throw the, but it, you know, it didn't dawn on me till it dawned on me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I throw that thing out of my hand. I'm like rubbing my hands in the water, trying to clean the bait off my hands, and it's like I didn't have a revelation that I was actually a living fishing pole, and that my hand was baited like a hook, you know. But once I got the revelation, I dropped what I was doing, and I didn't do it anymore.
Right.
And that's what happens with us. Sometimes we live life like a human fishing pole, and we're doing stuff in our life that makes us like bait, and we didn't know no better. But all of a sudden, it just dawns on you. This is stupid. You know, why? Because God reveals it to you that that's wrong, you know? And so then you just stop. You find out, you know, until you knew it was sin, you didn't know it was sin, right? And then once you know it's sin, God reveals that to you. Like Jesus said to Peter, he says, flesh and blood does not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did. And so God will reveal things to you. So one day, be okay with like one day swimming with the stingrays, and that's a legitimate thing to happen in your life. But another day, God showed you that's kind of stupid. You don't want to do that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that's called repentance. And until you knew about it, you didn't know to repent. But once God tells you, once God shows you and shows you what it's about, then you can repent. Then you can say, you know, God, I understand now. I totally understand what you're talking about. Forgive me for that, and begin to live your life. Don't be a human fishing pole and don't beat your hand.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, remind me, please, never to go diving with him.
Yeah, right.
I don't see that happening. I do not see that happening. You know,
yeah. Well, I don't see you diving with anybody.
Well, you know, I may dive. You know, I may.
I mean, you've never gone past your ankles, right?
I mean, you're not. No.
You don't go in the ocean.
I'm a swimmer.
I go in the ocean.
I'm a swimmer. You know, I told you my story when I went out there and with the kayak way out in the deep, and almost
what in your bathtub?
No, flipped over. Yeah, jokes. I'm actually a swimmer. I love the ocean. I don't mind the ocean.
Above your head,
huh?
Above your head.
No, I can get down deep. I can swim. I can do the whole thing. I'm just a little concerned about being, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 feet on, you know, underwater, you know, with a little bit of oxygen. You know, well, how did the tank ruptures or something? Then, you know, how do you get back up? You know,
they don't rupture.
I need some.
You may suck all the air out of it, but they don't rupture.
I've done
that before. Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll try, but I don't like the whole idea with the whole squid thing. I didn't see
that
as, you know.
That wasn't too bright. That I would not do.
Oh my goodness. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour, and I do want to share with you that we're going to get ready. In fact, listen, if you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, you want to make sure that you listen to yesterday's program. We talked about encountering Jesus. Oh, my goodness. You want to encounter the Lord. And we shared about those who had encounters with God. And there's something amazing. It's a phenom, if you will, that once someone encounters Jesus,
guess what?
They follow him.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. You see that every person that Jesus touched, I mean, there was just this amazing longing to say, listen, I will follow you. I will follow you. You know, the man who was delivered of legion said, take me here. You know, here I am, you know. And Peter was willing to say, forget this business. I'm done. Had the biggest successful single day of his career.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on what this could happen for him in the future, he said, no, I'm out. I'm going to go with you.
Yeah.
And when he had the opportunity to leave, he said, but Jesus, you have the words. You have the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to go? Listen, when you encounter God, you'll never go back.
That's right.
Don't settle for nothing less but a genuine encounter with the Lord. In the extra hour, if you're going to be joining us, we want to encourage you that we're going to be talking about, don't judge me because I limp. That's so important. You know, God's still working on us. And if you judge something too soon, you know what I mean? That's not a good thing. So don't judge me before I limp. I believe it'll encourage you. We'll talk about the top three on the torch. We're going to be talking about Google Glass. Very interesting. Google Glass. And we're also going to be talking about, it's not what you say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who he is in our life.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.